Greetings, David Clark here. I do apologise for the gaps between episodes. My master's class has started up again, and I recently underwent root canal surgery, which is something I don't recommend, and it has actually put me back a little bit in terms of getting these out to you. But without further ado, we are now on to the 220th night of the Arabian Nights, and we are coming shortly to a conclusion of the book, and I will endeavour to keep the pace going as much as I can. Thanks for listening, and I hope you're enjoying the Arabian Nights. And so it is. On with the story of the Arabian Nights. And today we start with the 220th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the fisherman happened to look back and suddenly saw the caliph. When he recognized him, his whole body began to tremble, and he said, 'O commander of the faithful, I did not do this because I took your commandment lightly, but because my poverty and need drove me to it.' The caliph said, 'Don't be afraid. Cast the net for me.' The fisherman cast the net, and when he pulled it up, he found in it various kinds of fish. The caliph was pleased, and he said, 'Pick out the salmon and clean them.' And the fisherman did as he bade. Then the caliph said, 'Fisherman, take off your clothes.' And the fisherman took off a robe sewn in 90 patches and a turban. The caliph took the fisherman's clothes and put them on, saying to him, 'Put on my clothes.' And the fisherman did so. Then the caliph veiled his face and said to the fisherman, 'Go on your business.' Then he took a clean basket, covered the bottom with green leaves, and placed the fish inside. Then he went back and stood before Ja'far, who took him for a fisherman. But when the caliph began to laugh, Ja'far recognized him and asked, 'Are you the commander of the faithful?' And he replied, 'Yes,' adding, 'Stay here until I return.' Then the caliph went up to the palace door and knocked. Nur al-Din said, 'Sheikh, there is knocking at the door.' The old man cried out, 'Who is there?' And the caliph replied, 'I, Karim the fisherman. I heard that you had guests and brought you some fish.' When Nur al-Din and Anis al-Jalis heard the mention of the fish, they were glad, and she said to the old man, 'For my sake, please open the door and let him bring us the fish.' The old man rose and opened the door, and when the caliph entered and saluted, Sheikh Ibrahim said to him, 'Welcome, you gambling thief. Show us what you have.' The caliph showed them the fish, and the girl said, 'By God, these are fine fish, but they would have been better if they had been fried.' Sheikh Ibrahim said to the caliph, 'Why didn't you bring us the fish ready fried? What shall we do with them? Go fry them and bring them back.' And he yelled at him. The caliph went out running until he came up to Ja'far and said, 'O Ja'far.' Ja'far asked, 'What is the good news, O commander of the faithful?' The caliph replied, 'They want the fish fried.' Ja'far said, 'I will fry them.' But the caliph replied, 'By the tombs of my fathers and forefathers, none shall fry them but I, with my own hands.' Then the caliph went to the keeper's hut, where he found everything he needed, to the salt and marjoram. Then he placed the frying pan on the stove, poured in some sesame oil, and, lighting the fire, placed the fish in the frying pan and fried them. Then he added lemons and radishes, carried the dish back to the palace, and set it before them. They all ate, and when they finished, Nur al-Din said to the caliph, 'O fisherman, you have done us a good deed.' Then he put his hand in his pocket and took out a paper purse. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 221st night. The following night, Shahrazad said, I heard, O happy king, that Nur al-Din took out a paper purse containing 30 dinars, which were the remainder of the money the chamberlain had given him before he fled, and said to the caliph, O fisherman, excuse me, for this is all I have. By God, had I known you before I spent all my inheritance, I would have done away with the bitterness of poverty in your heart. Take this as a token of my goodwill. Then he threw the money to the caliph, who caught it and, kissing it, put it away. The caliph, whose only wish was to hear the girl sing, said to Nur al-Din, My lord, you have rewarded me handsomely, but I would like you to do me one more favour and let the young lady sing a song for me. Nur al-Din said, O Anis al-Jalis, sing something for the sake of this fisherman. Anis al-Jalis took the lute and, tuning it, played a measure, then sang the following verses. The fingers of the fair caressed the strings and ravished the soul with her dulcet lute, and with her singing cured the very deaf, and bravo, cried out one who had been mute. Then she played another measure, so beautifully that she dazzled their wits, and sang the following verses. When with your visit you honoured our land, you filled the air with incense and dispelled the gloom. Therefore with camphor, rose water and musk, it well behooves me my house to perfume. The caliph was delighted and said, I have never heard anyone sing as well. Nur al-Din said to him, Take her as a gift from me to you. Then he rose, intending to put on his robe and depart, but Anis al-Jalis turned to him and said, Where are you going? If you must leave me, then stay a while and let me tell you how I feel. Then she recited the following verses. My memories and longing have tormented me until they turned me into a poor ghost. Oh, my darling, I have not forgotten you. I'm still the same, still to my torment's host. If one was able to swim in his tears, I would be the first in my tears to swim. Oh, you, whose love has filled my brimming heart, as wine fills up the wine cup to the brim, whose love has racked my body and my soul, the fate I dreaded has forced us apart. O Khakan's son, O my sole wish and hope, who will always reign and rule in my heart. For my sake you transgressed against our Lord to spend in exile the rest of your days. May God give you to me, even though you gave me to Karim, who deserves the praise. When the caliph heard her conclude, You gave me to Karim. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 222nd night. The following night, Shahrazad said, When the caliph heard her conclude with the words, You gave me to Karim, he turned to Nur al-Din and asked, My lord, the girl said in her verses that you had transgressed against her lord and master. Against whom did you transgress? And who is it who has a claim on you? Nur al-Din replied, Fisherman, what has happened to me and to this girl is extraordinary. The caliph said, Tell me your story. Nur al-Din asked, Do you wish to hear it in prose or in verse? The caliph replied, O my lord, prose is words, but verse is strung pearls. Nur al-Din bowed his head and recited the following verses. O my dear friend, I can no longer sleep, and my grief has increased since I left home. I had a father once who loved me well, but left me and lay dead under a dome. Then after him misfortunes fell on me, and with a broken heart have left me now. He had bought me a girl so beautiful that her fair figure put to shame the bow Then I spent all my substance for her sake, and lavished all I had on every friend. When all was gone, I put her up for sale, forced by my dire need to that loathsome end. But when the auctioneer called out for bids, and a vile old man was having his way, I was so furious that I angrily from the broker wrested the girl away, when that vile old man, out of pent-up hate, gave me a blow that hurt and made me smart. But I fell on him with hard rights and lefts, knocking him down until I soothed my heart. Then I left and hastened back to my house, and out of fear myself from my foes hid. And when the king sent men to have me seized, a great and wise chamberlain came and bid me flee from my native land and go abroad, and leave behind my many envious foes. So we fled in the dead of night and came to Baghdad, where we found refuge from our woes. As we were banqueting and drinking here, you came to visit unexpectedly, and caught me with little money to give for the fine gift you had given kindly. But I give you, fisherman, my sole love, and 'tis my wish, hope, idol I part. Accept then from me this my precious gift, certain that I have given you my heart. The caliph said, My lord Nur al-Din, tell me the story in detail. And Nur al-Din told him the story from beginning to end. Then the caliph asked him, Where do you intend to go from here? Nur al-Din replied, God's world is wide. The caliph said, I will write a letter to give to King Muhammad ibn Suleiman, and when he reads it, he will no longer bother you or harm you. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 223rd night. The following night, Shahrazad said, I heard, O happy king, that the caliph, who was disguised as a fisherman, said, I will write a letter to the king, and he will no longer harm you. Nur al-Din asked, Is there in the whole world a fisherman who corresponds with kings? The caliph replied, The king and I studied together under the same tutor. I was above him, but he became a king, while I became a fisherman. Yet whenever I write to ask him for a favour, he fulfils my wish. When Nur al-Din heard this, he said, Very well, write and show me. The caliph took paper and ink, and after the invocation to God, wrote the following. This letter is from Harun al-Rashid, son of al-Mahdi, to His Highness Muhammad ibn Suleiman al-Zainabi, my cousin, seedling of my bounty, and shareholder in my estate. The bearer of this letter is Nur al-Din Ali, son of Ibn Khakan the Vizier. As soon as you receive it, abdicate and let Nur al-Din Ali ibn Khakan take your place. Fail not to carry out my command, and peace be on you. Then the caliph gave the letter to Nur al-Din, who took it, kissed it, then put it in his turban, and departed. When Nur al-Din was gone, Ibrahim, the keeper, turned to the caliph and said, Enough! Enough! You have brought us a couple of fish worth no more than 20 fils. Yet you receive a full purse for them, and now you intend to get the girl too. It happened that when the caliph had earlier gone to fry the fish and bring them back, he had said to Jafar, Go to my palace. Bring back one of my royal robes, and return with Masrur and 4 armed officers, and wait below the window. When you hear me cry out, Help! Help! Come up at once with the officers, dress me in the robe, and stand in attendance. And Jafar had done the caliph's bidding, and stood waiting below the window. When the old man spoke with the caliph, The caliph replied, "Sheikh, I will give you half of the money in the purse, but I will keep the girl." The old man said, "By God, you will keep no more than one half of the girl. As for the purse, open it and let me see what is in it. If it is silver, take a dirham for yourself and give me the rest. But if it is gold, give it all to me. And for your fish, I will give you a dirham's worth of change, which I have in my pocket." The caliph replied, "I will give you nothing." The old man took a porcelain plate and hurled it at the caliph, who evaded it and let it smash against the wall. Then the old man went into a storeroom to fetch a stick. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 224th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the old man went into a storeroom to fetch a stick with which to beat the fisherman, who was the caliph, while the caliph cried out from the window, 'Help! Help!' and was at once joined by Jafar and the officers, who dressed him in his royal robe, seated him on a chair, and stood in attendance. When the old man came out of the storeroom with the stick, rushing toward the fisherman, he was stunned to see instead the caliph seated on a chair and Jafar standing in attendance. He began to bite his nails in bewilderment and to exclaim, 'Am I asleep or awake?' The caliph turned to him and said, 'O Sheikh Ibrahim, what state do I see you in?' The old man became sober at once, and rolling on the ground, recited the following verses. 'Forgive my error, for it was a slip, and grant your slave, O Lord, your clemency. I have confessed, as my own sin requires. Where is the act expected of mercy?' The caliph forgave him, and bade Anis al-Jalis be carried to the palace, where he assigned her a separate lodging, and servants to attend her, saying to her, 'You should know that I have sent your lord to be king in Basra, and God willing, when I send him the order of investiture and the deed of bestowal, I will send you along.' In the meantime, Nur al-Din ibn al-Hakan journeyed on until he reached Basra, and went to the king's palace, and gave the king the caliph's letter. When the king read it, he kissed it and stood up three times, saying, 'I hear and obey God and the Commander of the Faithful.' But when he was about to abdicate, the vizier arrived, and when the king showed him the letter, the vizier read it, then tore out the invocation to God, put it in his mouth, and chewed it. The king asked, 'Why did you do that?' The vizier said, 'My lord, did you think that this was the handwriting of the caliph?' The king asked, 'Is it not?' The vizier replied, 'No, by your life, O king of the age, it is nothing but a forgery by this devil. Would the caliph have sent him all by himself to assume the kingship without an order of investiture or a deed of bestowal?' The king asked, 'What do you advise?' The vizier replied, 'I advise you to hand this fellow over to me and wait. And if neither order of investiture nor deed of bestowal arrives, you will know that I am right and will punish him for what he did to me.' But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 225th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "It is related, O happy king, that when the king heard the advice of the vizier Ibn Sawi, he replied, 'Take him.' The vizier took Nur al-Din, and when he brought him to his own palace, he shouted to his servants, "Throw him to the ground." And the servants threw him to the ground and beat him until he fainted. Then the vizier shackled him and threw him into jail, shouting to the jailer, whose name was Kutait, "Kutait, throw him into a deep cell and punish him." The jailer beat Nur al-Din well into the night until he fainted, and when he came to himself in the dark, he recited the following verses. "I will endure until I patience shock, and God fulfills my fate and his decree. He who says that life is made of sweetness, a day more bitter than aloes will see." Nur al-Din suffered the same treatment for 10 days, until the vizier decided to strike off his head. So he took some gifts and gave them to a group of unknown Bedouins, saying, "Give these gifts to the king." And when they presented the gifts to the king, the vizier said, "My lord, these gifts were not meant for you, but for Nur al-Din, the new king." The king replied, "You have reminded me of him. Bring him and let us strike off his head." The vizier said, "When he beat me that time, my enemies gloated. Will you permit me to proclaim in the city, 'Whoever wishes to watch the beheading of Nur al-Din Ali ibn al-Hakan, let him come to the royal palace. Then the public will come to watch, and I will be satisfied.'" But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 226th night. The following night, Shahrazad replied, "Very well," and said, "I heard, O happy king, that the vizier said, 'And I will be satisfied.'" The king replied, "Do as you wish." The vizier departed and bade the crier make the proclamation, and the crier did. And when the people heard it, they mourned and wept for Nur al-Din. Then the vizier went to the jail with 10 Mamluks and said to the jailer, "Bring me that young prisoner." The jailer brought Nur al-Din, and when he opened his smarting eyes and saw his enemy, the vizier, preparing to kill him, he asked him, "Are you secure against fate? Have you heard what the poet says? For long they ruled us arbitrarily, but suddenly vanished their powerful rule." The vizier said, "Do you threaten me, you good for nothing? After I strike off your head, despite the people of Basra, let fate do with me what it will. For the poet says, 'He who outlives his foe one single day will have attained his wish and had his way.'" Then he ordered his attendants to set Nur al-Din on the back of a mule. And as they took him away, the people wept and, flocking around him, said, "O our lord Nur al-Din, even though we may endanger our lives, give us your permission, and let each of us pick a stone and stone to death this wretched old vizier and his attendants, and save you, and let whatever happens happen." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 227th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the people said to Nur al-Din, 'Let whatever happens happen.'" The attendants rode with Nur al-Din until they came below the palace walls. Then they made him kneel on the execution mat, and the executioner bandaged his eyes and, drawing his sword, asked him twice whether he had a last wish. Then he knelt before him and, removing the bandage from his eyes, said to him, "I am only a servant who does what he is told. I have no choice. and you will die as soon as the king gives the order." Nur al-Din looked to the right and left, and realizing that none could help him or save him, and feeling very thirsty, recited the following verses. "My life is spent and death is drawing near. Will no one help me and God's reward gain? Will no one pity me in my distress, and with a cup of water ease my pain? Yet if I die thirsty, then I will die like Ali's holy son, and martyrdom attain." The people wept, and the executioner rose and brought him a cup of water. But the vizier jumped up, knocked the cup from his hand, and broke it, screaming, "Strike off his head!" The people cried out, "This is not lawful!" When suddenly there arose a great cloud of dust that filled the air. The vizier repeated, "Strike off his head at once!" But the king said, "Let us wait and see what is the matter." That cloud of dust was raised by Jafar and his retinue, and the reason of his coming was as follows. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 228th night. The following night, Shahrazad replied, "Very well," and said, "I heard, O happy king, that one night as the caliph passed by one of the chambers in the palace, he heard someone reciting the following verses. Love's torment has racked me, body and soul. Ever since cruel fate drove us far apart, God has allowed all lovers to unite, but has condemned my unrequited heart." The caliph cried out, "Who is in the chamber?" And a woman replied, "O my lord, I am Anis al-Jalis, whose lord you sent to Basra to replace the Lord Muhammad ibn Suleiman as king." When the caliph heard this, he summoned Jafar and said to him, "I have forgotten Nur al-Din Ali ibn Khakan, and forgotten to send him the order of investiture and the deed of bestowal, and I fear that his enemy may have succeeded in killing him. Ride post-haste to Basra, and if you find him dead, hang the vizier. But if you find him alive, bring him with the king and the vizier to me, as you will find them, and do not tarry beyond the time necessary for the journey." Jafar prepared himself at once. Jafar set out and journeyed until he reached Basra at the very moment when, as I have described, the executioner stood with his drawn sword and was about to strike off Nur al-Din's head. Jafar went up to the king, saluted him, and inquired what was the matter with Nur al-Din, and the king explained the situation. Then Jafar bade Nur al-Din be brought before him, and they brought him with the execution mat and sword. Then he bade them untie him, and they did so. Then bade them bind the vizier and tie a rope around his neck, and they did so. Then he took all three and journeyed until he reached the city of peace, and going to the caliph, presented Nur al-Din to him and told him the story. The caliph said to Nur al-Din, "Nur al-Din ibn Khakan, take this sword and strike off the head of your enemy with your own hand." Nur al-Din rose and, taking the sword, went up to the vizier and said to him, "I did according to my nature. Do according to yours." Nur al-Din threw the sword from his hand and said to the caliph, "O my lord, the poet says, I tricked him to forgive me for my breach, for noble minds are deceived by fair speech." The caliph said, "Masrur, strike off his head yourself." Masrur went to the vizier and with one stroke severed his head from his body. Then the caliph turned to Nur al-Din ibn Khakan and said, "Ask for a boon from me." Nur al-Din replied, I have no need of the kingship of Basra. All I desire is the honour of your companionship." The Caliph reunited Nur al-Din with Anis al-Jalis, bestowed favours on him, and granted him his wish, making him one of his boon companions. Then Nur al-Din and Anis al-Jalis lived the happiest and most delightful of lives until they were overtaken by the breaker of ties and destroyer of delights. May God help us on that day. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister Shahrazad, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if I stay alive? It will be even stranger and more amazing."